Good morning. I would like to wish the blessing and peace of God on each one here today. It's been a blessing to be in the service here, and there's been a bit of a theme as we think about a new year, and I will be continuing that, I guess. I appreciated what's been shared already. I think that happens somewhat naturally for a lot of us as we think about a new year. And I think it's good for us to reflect. It's good for us to look back, and good for us to think about some changes that we can make in the coming year. I've entitled the message, A Forward Focus. In thinking about New Year's resolutions, I don't know how you feel about those. It's actually a good thing for me, I think. I have found it's good in my life if I find some things that it's a good time, I guess, for me to look at some things and say, you know, this is an area that I could do better in. I really could use some improvement. And for my wife and I, it's been a good time for us, even in our marriage and our relationship, just to talk about some things and maybe talk about some things that we don't always And so I think it's a good time to set new goals. Maybe that doesn't resonate with everyone. We don't all quite think that way, but I do believe it's good for us. It's a time of year when people have new diet trends and gym memberships. And I heard the one right now is apparently all about rest. It's about getting through the holiday season and having a month of rest, apparently. And doesn't sound like the worst idea, but I'm not sure it's completely scriptural, because I think we're supposed to rest on the day of rest and work the rest of the time. So I don't know that we're commanded to have a month of rest, but interesting how some of those things come and go. But the message today is going to be a two-part message. And the first part is about letting go of the past. And the second part then being more a practical call to move forward with intent in our Christian walk and experience. You can turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 for a text scripture. So I mentioned that reflection is good, and it is, but I think in many areas of life, if we live in the past and hang on to the past, it becomes I see the teachings of Christ, and especially Paul in this chapter, teaches moving beyond our past and moving beyond what's happened in our past. And so I want us to think about that as we read this scripture here. I'm going to read the entire chapter, and I am aware that we just went through this in our Sunday school lesson. Maybe I shouldn't have taken this soon, but I thought we went through here pretty quickly, and I really appreciated this scripture, and I was inspired by this thought, and I thought it fit well with this thinking about or at the time of year we're in with looking back and moving forward. And so we're going to read the entire chapter here, starting in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. I'm especially going to focus in on verses 8 to 14, but we are going to read the entire chapter. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So backing up here, we're going to start around verse 4 here. Verses 4 to 6, Paul expresses, especially in relation to his Jewish background, his impeccable and perfect record as a Jew. He says, if anybody thinks that they'd have done everything, like he exceeded it. He had done everything to be a perfect Jew. Verses 7 to 8, he then begins to say, but the things that were gained to him, they became lost for Christ. And then he says, I count all things but loss. So now he's giving a view of his past, his background, his accomplishment, the works that he did. And he compares it really to just a pile of manure. And so it's an essential, he's saying his past does not matter. It's worthless. We also have to remember he was in an unrepentant state. So he is comparing a past without Christ to a life with Christ. But beginning to see that what is in our past is, when it's under the blood and it's been confessed, it's forgotten and it is in the past and it no longer matters. In verse 9, Paul contrasts righteousness by faith versus the law. So a little bit just what we mentioned there, the difference in those two. Verses 10 to 11, he's talking about a desire to know Christ. And the desire to know Christ carries the idea of growing in relationship, learning to know better, less of me and more of Christ. And so it's a desire to learn, a desire to grow, a desire to move forward and to have a greater understanding of God. Moving to verse 12, he says, not as though I had already attained. And this is where I think it becomes so important for us to understand this. This idea in looking back that we have a mindset that I have not attained and that I'm not perfect. But he says, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And that word apprehend, I think, carries the meaning of Christ getting a hold of your life. And it's almost like it's an actual physically, like something gets a hold of you. And so it's the idea that Christ gets a hold of our life. And then it's a response of us to actually reach out and grasp everything that we can get from Jesus. And I think that's the concept here. And so it speaks directly to the idea of not just receiving salvation and then being okay, but it's the idea of wanting more, of desiring more, and a desiring to move forward in that. I was thinking about, or I came across something that mentioned the Spanish, I believe, had a coin in the 14th century. And at that point, I think they felt like they were kind of top of the world, and they were kind of it. And their coin had the words that had interpreted meant nothing further. And interestingly, shortly after the New World was discovered, and they did end up changing that, and it said more beyond. And I think it's interesting for us to think about that difference in mindset. I mean, I think some people live in a way where they think they've attained and there's nothing more to figure out. But I think we must understand that there's more. We always have to have the mindset that there is more for me to learn, that I can get closer to Christ. There's more to learn within the Word. It's very important that we keep that mindset. Verse 13, he says, "Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward." Jesus talked about having the faith of a child. Think about how children have a desire for the next stage of life. And how often do you hear a young child talk about what they accomplished 2 years ago? I don't think that happens. Generally doesn't happen. Usually they're excited about the next accomplishment ahead of them. And I think that's a mindset that we should carry in our Christian lives. Not the idea of what we've accomplished, but the idea of what's ahead. And the excitement of growing deeper and understanding more about Christ. Luke 2:52 talks a little bit about Jesus himself, and this could be some of his physical development, but it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." And I believe that mindset should be ours, the desire to increase and to learn and to develop a deeper relationship. Verse 14, we must press toward the ultimate goal. And the Greek here in that word press gives the idea of using every muscle and nerve, or the idea of running, like running for your life, where you're exerting everything you have. And I think that's the message that's meant to come across here in this pressing toward the mark. It's giving everything that we have to move forward. Verse 15 here also, I think, is an important verse. He says, "Let us therefore as many as be perfect." And I think that word perfect could be interpreted mature. And let us therefore as many as are mature have the mindset, what he was just talking about. And he says, if you don't have that mindset, that ask God to reveal it to you. But we should have this mindset of wanting to know more. Verse 16 also gives practical advice in not throwing away the things that you have already attained. And so the idea would be keep what you have and then learn and grow from there. So looking now at a few ways that we sometimes look at our past and get hung up in the past. And the first one, we've mentioned this a little bit, is resting on past accomplishments. The Christian life is not about resting on what we have accomplished to this point, but about serving God as best I can today and moving forward. I don't know if you've ever been to a meeting or an event where there's a speaker and they introduce them at the beginning and they list all their credentials. And I'm sometimes like, okay, can we just, you know, and then they come up and you all clap and it's, you know, it's nice. And I'm usually just kind of like, well, can we just get past this? I want to, you know, just hear what the person has to say. And I suppose there's a part of just being polite in that, but I think we should forget about our accomplishments. I think the accomplishments that we have will hold us back. And if we want to rest on those things, I believe Jesus calls us to move beyond what we've already accomplished. And so I don't think we should be listing our accomplishments for the world to hear. I would also encourage some of the older people here. I think there's also this thing of where it can be easy to get to a point in life where you say, well, I've kind of done my service. I've kind of, you know, I've been here for a long time. I've been faithful. I would encourage you just to continue to find new ventures to serve. And when I think about an example of this, I think of David Smoker. And David was someone who always, I think probably most or everyone could testify to his involvement in their life in some way. And I just remember as I came up in church here and took on different responsibilities, how he would always encourage and he was always building up and he was always finding ways to build up those around him. I thought about the fact that he wrote a booklet in his 90s that he was passing out to people. And I remember he had a devotion, you know, well in his 90s. And I think that mindset of continuing on is what we want to, I guess, would be kind of my heart for what I'm sharing today. Having a mindset of continuing on, a forward focus, and not resting on what we've done to this point. And I'll just throw this out. So we're just getting started with a program called Fathers in the Field. And so you'll probably be hearing some more about that. And this is a mission or an opportunity to mentor fatherless boys. And a lot of times it seems in our churches, we end up with single men in their teens or 20s that are the ones that are willing to take on these types of responsibilities. The program itself actually encourages men in their 50s and 60s who have raised families, and not held just to those ages, but older men that have actually raised their families, they're encouraging them to engage in these kinds of things. And so be thinking about that. I think there will be some opportunities for that. And it's the type of thing I think we should think about is being involved in things even as we get older in life. The second thing that we have a problem with looking back is living in the defeat of the past. We must learn to embrace the grace and forgiveness of God. If you look back at this past year with regret, then repent, confess it, and move forward. Don't allow the devil to fill your mind with reminders of past defeat, but have a mindset of moving forward. You know, many religions teach that an accumulation of goodness outweighs wrongdoing and is your merit to get to heaven. Not so with Christianity. We can experience forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we don't need to worry about producing enough of good to take care of, to cover up the bad that we've done. So don't allow yourself to live in defeat, but have a path forward. Have a path to victory. And don't allow yourself to be pulled back into that. And then the third one is wallowing in the ways people have hurt and mistreated us in the past. I believe many personal relationships are hindered by hanging on to things from the past, an unwillingness to forgive, petty grievances, and bitterness toward those that wronged us will all work counter to God's desire for his people, and will only serve to bring grief and hurt to everyone involved. We must be willing to let these things go in order to move forward. And I would just encourage us in that. I think these things happen easily, and it's a shame to see some of the things that happen within families, within churches, in our circles. We must realize that these things only hinder us. We must have a willingness to forgive and a willingness to move on. Luke 9:62. This might be a touch out of context, but Jesus says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." The idea does come through that if we lose focus, or forward focus in Christ, and focus on the things that are behind us, that we lose our fitness for service in the kingdom of God. So now moving just to some practical ways that we can move forward in the new year. And along with this, I would just bring in a little bit the pursuit of perfection. I'm going to read a couple verses here. Colossians 3:10, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." That idea of being renewed in knowledge, of learning more, of progressing. Hebrews 6:1, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance." Now he has the phrase, "Let us go on to perfection." Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So I think we all know that none of us are perfect, and yet we should have a desire for perfection. So there's that, there should always be that tension, wanting to be perfect, but never being perfect. I think as soon as we are perfect, if we think we're perfect, then we're not perfect. So there should be that constant desire to attain and to be more like Christ, but the mindset of never being there. So we're going to think about that now in some practical ways. And the first one here is our personal walk with God. This would probably be valuable just to open up and to have different people share what has helped you in your walk with God. I think there's a lot of wisdom and a lot of, especially from the older people here, on these types of things. And I think I will just give a little bit of time for that. What are some things that have worked for you to help you in your walk with God? I think we could probably just spend our time on this, and it would probably fix a lot of the other things that we've come to. If we just had our own lives in tune with Christ, then we probably, it would fix a lot of our problems. So I'll just open it up briefly for anyone. What are some things that have helped you develop and grow in your Christian life? So less of me and more of Christ. Be those things of when we fall away and find our way back to God. Memorizing scripture and keeping your hands off the smartphone.
Instead of just reading scripture, it helps me to write it.
Okay, write scripture instead of just reading it. Well, thank you for those. I had a few others I'm just going to share here. And these are just practical things. Probably don't work for everyone, but some of these are things I'm working on in my own life. I would just say make a scheduled time for God. I think that sometimes when we have really busy schedules, we just need that. Make a scheduled time and keep that time where you spend time with God. Make a prayer list to pray and update it regularly. Have a goal for how much scripture you will read. This, for some people, find a good devotional help. And have someone to hold you accountable. I think that's important. So I would just encourage us, let's strive to move forward in our walk with God in this next year. Find some way to make that real and practical in your life. Second thing then is relationships. Practical ways we can move forward in the new year. Strengthen the relationships you already have. Don't just continue them. And I think this is something that I can fall into sometimes, where if a relationship is going like this, I feel I'm okay. If it's like this, I'm like, whoa. But I'm okay with this. And I think we should have a desire for our relationships to grow. And we're especially talking here about binding relationships. We're talking about a spouse, parents, children, fellow church members, could be coworkers, employees. So regular people that you're working with on a regular basis. We should have a desire to have improved relationships and to see them grow and build and to move forward. If there are problem relationships, make effort to reconcile and improve them. Be willing to be the initiator, even if it feels like the other person is the problem. Have the mindset of what can I contribute rather than what can I get out of it. And have a prayer that you would have a mindset of growing, moving upwards towards perfection in our relationships. Third one is acts of service, practical ways that we can move forward this new year. Am I engaging in the Great Commission? How many people have I spoken to about God in the past year? I wanted to share a story that I felt illustrated this well, and also illustrated just illustrated well someone who served God to the best he could up until his death. This is the story of John Harper, who was I'll read the story. This is written by a man, Erwin Lutzer, in 2012. He writes the story of John Harper, who was on the Titanic, an evangelist who died on the Titanic. So I'll just read it as he wrote it here. When I became pastor of the Moody Church in 1980, I knew one of the church rooms was named Harper Hall in memory of the Scottish evangelist who was on a journey to the Moody Church but drowned when the Titanic sank in April 1912. Only recently, however, did I learn the full story of this remarkable man. Harper's reputation as an evangelist was so well known that he was invited to speak at the Moody Church in 1910. I have in my possession a photocopy of a letter in his own handwriting, which reads, "I have been in Chicago for 3 months. God gave us a very precious and wonderful revival of continuous services each day and sometimes even more often." He went on to say that he now has been invited back to the Moody Church for another 3 months of meetings. And so it was that John Harper, his sister, and his six-year-old daughter, his wife had died, found themselves on the great ship, the Titanic. Survivors later reported that as Titanic began to sink, Harper admonished people to be prepared to die. He made sure his sister and daughter were in a lifeboat, even as he continued to share the gospel with whoever would listen. And when he found himself in the icy water with a life jacket, floating near another man, Harper asked, "Are you saved?" "No, I'm not saved," the desperate man replied. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved," Harper shouted. One report says Harper, knowing he could not survive long in the icy water, took off his life jacket and threw it to another person with the words, "You need this more than I do." Moments later, Harper disappeared beneath the water. 4 years later, when there was a reunion of the survivors of the Titanic, the man to whom Harper had witnessed told the story of his rescue and gave a testimony of his conversion, recorded in a tract, "I Was John Harper's Last Convert." Before disappearing beneath the 2.5 miles of water, John Harper shared, for the last time, the message of Christmas, which in a nutshell is that Jesus came to earth to die in our stead that we might be saved. This gospel does not spare us from drowning in an ocean, but it does spare us from a far worse eternal destruction. To complete the story, Harper's 6-year-old daughter and her aunt arrived safely in New York, rescued by the Carpathia, and only then learned of Harper's death. And to the credit of the Moody Church, acting pastor Reverend Woodley and a deacon traveled to New York to give them clothes and money so they could return to Scotland. And the author is saying, this past April, Rebecca and I were invited to help commemorate the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic with the congregation at the Harper Memorial Baptist Church in Glasgow. To our delight, we discovered that this church, founded by Harper, is still preaching the same gospel that he preached on the Titanic 100 years ago. We also learned that his daughter later married a pastor. She died in 1986, but her daughter and grandchildren were with us for the celebrations. A reminder that there is no substitute for the torch of faith being passed from one generation to another through the influence of godly families. I appreciated that story. I think we could learn from that testimony. Learn a lot, really. What can I do in this next year to speak to God for someone? Just finishing up in these acts of service, what have I done for the homeless, for those in prison, the poor, the hurting, the despised, the lonely, the sinner? Purpose in your heart and find a new outlet to serve in the next year. Remember, you can always engage in prayer. Practical ways we can move forward in the new year. Our bodies, the temple of God. Have a commitment to holiness as it relates to our sexuality. What about our diet? We take a strong stance against smoking and alcohol. What about overconsumption of sugar or caffeine? What healthy changes can we make in the next year? You might wonder why John Mark mentions things about health, but I'm probably not the best person to do that. But I think it is important that we think about what we put in our body. What about the things we put on our bodies, the clothes we wear? Do we do it for the praise of men or the praise of God? And this can go both ways. I think sometimes we can dress in a more conservative way for the wrong reasons, and we can dress, and it goes both ways. We can dress to be more like the world. Which way are we trending? Who are we trying to look like? Who are we trying to be? What about brain rot? Damage to your eyes from screen time. Ben mentioned smartphones. And do we understand what we're doing to our bodies by spending so much time? And I hear so much from people where they say, oh, I spend too much time on my smartphone. Purpose this year to make a practical, in some way, to improve in that. Find a way to do it. And then church life. What can I do in church life this year? Be engaged, be active within the church. Go to prayer meeting more often. And that would be directed to me too. I suppose there's probably some people that can't go to prayer meeting more this year than they did last year because they were at every prayer meeting, and God bless you for that. But encourage us to encourage and exhort each other, your fellow church members. And I want to thank those who have reached out to me in preparation for the message. And I didn't get back to everyone, but thank you for your messages. I read them and appreciated them. Support youth activities. Be willing to serve when called upon. We have a business meeting coming up Wednesday night. Hopefully some of you all leave all fired up Wednesday night about a new responsibility. Be willing to serve. and be willing to move forward in love from disagreements. I appreciate that. I think I've seen that happen here. We went through some hard things, but I feel like I have sensed people moving on in love and not looking back to disagreements from the past, but being able to move forward, and I commend you for that. And then our work life. What are some practical ways we can move forward in our work life? Have a mindset of service. Try to be the best possible version of yourself. Always be honest. Put others' needs ahead of yourself. Be blameless in business. Always try to be the employee of the month, but never think of yourself as the employee of the month. Treat those that work for you with respect and honor. And in conclusion, I would just give a call to action. In this new year, don't hang on to your accomplishments, your defeats or failures from the past, but strive to be the best version of yourself through Christ without thinking of yourself in that way. And I would encourage everyone to find at least one area that you can work on in the coming weeks and months and year, and ask God to show you how you can practically work that out. I'm just going to read Romans chapter 12, yet without making further comment. I believe this really ties up what I was, kind of the things we just talked about here, and it's just good practical advice, and you can turn there with me. And we'll leave this with us as a closing word. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's kneel for prayer.